What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Today, I have an award-winning Homelander actor, real-life Eddie Munson, and horror fanatic, Ghost of Salem.
That's me.
Welcome.
Thank you
for joining me
Thank
today.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you taking the time to cosplay our boy, Eddie Munson.
Yeah, these are just my normal clothes.
This is how I
actually do just wear these clothes. Like, these are just jeans that I own.
They're good clothes.
I think so.
This jacket was
expensive, so I have to wear it.
Yeah, right.
Not the denim part, but the leather part is a real leather biker jacket.
And you splice them together?
It's two jackets, so I'm wearing, the thing is I'm actually doing a shoot next week with my friend Jaden from my hometown. He's gonna be Steve from the scene where they're in season 4. Mm-hmm. They gave it to the Upside Down, and he gives him his vest. So I wanted it to be removable in case I ever wanted somebody to be Steve. They could borrow my vest.
Oh my God! So wow.
It's also all like really. This is something I'm very particular about. All of this is like, other than the pants, these are more modern pants. But everything else, the shirt also is Hot Topic, but whatever. Everything else is actually like vintage. So this is a real from the 80s Levi's denim jacket.
No way.
And the most of the pins and patches are also vintage. Some of them I had to make myself with a button maker I have at home. But like, this is a vintage Judas Priest pin. The patches as well, some of them, the ones that I could find. Try to source stuff locally, like your actual punk stores and stuff like that. Because I think the next thing I'm going to buy is I'm saving up to buy one of the actual bullet belts. Because I didn't want to use like a Halloween store one.
Yeah.
For the scene where he's playing Master of Puppets.
Right. That's awesome. That is so cool. I feel like we spoke about your ability to thrift before we started.
Yeah, sourcing stuff's really important.
Mm-hmm. Which is so cool. It's also really exciting when you look at cosplay, sometimes you don't realize how much work and effort is put into these very specific pieces. So getting to explain all of that, it's very validating.
It is very validating. It's very validating. Like my shoes, even down to the shoes, these are the exact same pair of Reeboks he wears.
No way.
Yeah.
I wish we could see. I purposefully don't wear good shoes on the podcast.
That's
so
okay.
These are my skull flats.
They're kind of cool as
hell. Socks.
No, I think it's a good combo.
Thank you. I think it's very Chrissy.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's what I feel like on the inside. It's like frilly sock on the inside than like scary exterior.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel that way with a lot of people who are into the horror genre in general. They are marshmallows on the inside and the horror on the outside is kind of a scary exterior.
I think anyone who has a fascination with horror, typically, as long as it's, if they have an actual fascination with horror and not like a surface level, oh, this is badass, like, it is, there's really two ends of the spectrum, I think, in the horror community. And most of my friends fall into the kind of, it's a very literature-based, almost intellectual approach to horror. It's like one of my other favorite YouTube channels and podcasts, is the Dead Meat Podcast. They will go into the like psychoanalysis of these characters. James and Chelsea will talk at length about like the motives behind the characters and their upbringings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got those types of fans who really do have an appreciation for the storytelling. And then you have other fans who treat it like it's WWE. And they're just like, oh, big monster. He's scary.
Cool. Blood.
Which is fine, you know, but I think typically on the end of the spectrum where people are really critically thinking about these characters, they do tend to be softer on the inside, because I think a great example is like Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein just came out and all my friends love it. And there's people out there, genuinely, I know some people who are like, oh man, the monster was so scary. The makeup was so cool. I'm like, yeah, what else? And they're like, I don't know. I just know that if I was in a room with Frankenstein, I'd be terrified. And I'm like, okay, I think you missed the point.
Right.
He's not the bad guy. Mm-hmm. He's a victim. Mm-hmm. And that's the case for a lot of monsters. They're just misunderstood. I think that's the whole point of Eddie as a character. Is he's kind of a representation of victims of satanic panic, where there's this idea that if you are, you know, different, then you're othered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially in a community like the horror community, you have to kind of find family in other people who are outcasts.
Totally.
This is the whole Hellfire Club thing, is all those kids, all those kids in Stranger Things have witnessed horrible traumatic events, and the way that they cope with it is by like the closeness they feel with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
It is great. And I think that there's a lot of parallels in the cosplay community as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's cool that you blend the genres together the way that you do. And being so invested in the horror genre as a whole, what draws you to it? And can you expand more on what you were saying about the literature of horror?
Yeah. So ever since I was really young, it's really funny actually, because people are always like, how did you get into horror? And I'm like, I just kind of always have been. My grandmother, when I was a kid, so I grew up and my mom was a single mom, and my grandmother took care of me for like the first 10 years of my life before she passed. And she was really obsessed with Halloween. It was like her favorite holiday. And so she threw these really lavish like Halloween parties. She'd go all out with themed foods and decorations and costumes. And I remember the first word I actually ever read out loud and spelled, she had a little candy dish with a ghost on it, and it said boo. Aww. And that was the first time I can consciously remember looking at something going B-O-O, boo.
Whoa.
And so ever since I was that young, you know, I've been surrounded by it. Exactly. It's blood runs in my veins. It's crazy. Guts reside in my insides, you know?
Are real life Eddie Munson.
I am real life Eddie Munson. I'm real life horror fanatic. And so even after that, I can recall, I think also in the early 2000s, which is when I was growing up, kids used to have a lot more horror media than we do now.
Mm.
Like we had The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. That's about two kids hanging out with the Grim Reaper. We had, you know, Invader Zim, which is about an alien who's trying to come and take over the planet. You've got Scooby-Doo was having a huge resurgence. So I was always kind of surrounded even from a young age. Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I was about to say
Courage the Cowardly Dog. Shout out Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah, so but many dark
all of that stuff.
Cartoons.
Danny Phantom is about a guy who can commit suicide on command.
Yes.
That's insane. I love him though.
I know.
And so growing up with that kind of imagery and media, I mean, even stuff that carried over from when my mom was a kid, because I love Beetlejuice and like Edward Scissorhands and all the Tim Burton stuff growing up. I think for me, it was a lot of, I did feel othered as a child because, I mean, I'm queer and I didn't know it as a kid, but obviously you're born queer. And so there was this kind of bullying ever since I was even a little kid, where people would, you know, you're not normal. You're into stuff that's weird. It is creepy and you're creepy. And I was like, okay, I guess. But, you know, my best friend again, Jaden, he was someone who was also weird and creepy. And he was really into horror novels and stuff. He's really into Dracula and into Frankenstein. And so we would like hang out and watch Goosebumps together and play pretend in his backyard and pretend we were Freddy and Jason, you know. We had these like little Halloween costume props of the machete and the claw and everything. And I think that was kind of the first time in my life that I felt seen and understood by someone else. Was I was like, oh, you're not afraid of me. Because that was the other thing. I think growing up, I've also got some like mental illnesses we don't have to get into, but they're ones that, especially growing up, it was very hard because society and the media really tries to villainize those mental illnesses and really tries to make them
totally
hard to understand. And people inherently fear what they don't understand. That's where all fear comes from, is just not knowing. And especially once I started having symptoms and stuff, it's really hard to relate to other people because I had all this stuff. I had a lot of death when I was really young too. You know, 10 years old, I had my brother die and my grandmother die within the span of a year. 2010 was a rough year.
That's
and
crazy.
It kind of immediately turned me into this very emo kid, you know? And that's,
I imagine,
you know, it's just like,
I imagine.
My whole world is this darkness around me constantly, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like Shadow the Hedgehog.
I would be surprised if that wasn't the case.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, and so that's how you cope sometimes. And so for me, it was an escape too, you know? It was, I felt seen with that community. And by those people, because I was able to comfortably talk about subjects like that. Because that's the other thing too. I'd go to school and I'd talk about my dead parents and my dead brother, and they'd be like, "Why is he talking about dead people? It's fucking weird." I'd be like, "Well, because they're dead, man. They actually died. That happened. That's real life." And then, you know, they didn't get that, and that's fine. That's fine. It's not for everyone. I get it. It's a hard subject, but Jaden was one of the first people who was really comfortable talking to me about that kind of stuff. You know, and just letting me have that space to explore the dark, because that's what life is. I mean, most of life is grieving. As much as we don't want to talk about it, it is. You know, it's the unfortunate truth. But yeah, I don't know. It's my whole life I've been plagued by tragedy. I'm born under the tarot card of the Tower, so I never really had a chance, you know?
Can you explain that for anyone who doesn't know
tarot
cards?
I forgot. That is not normal, common knowledge. So I don't know if I'd explain the whole tarot deck right now, but I'll explain the Tower. The Tower represents destruction and upheaval. And for me, in my experience, that has been quite literal. I've moved around a lot growing up, and even pretty much anytime I start to get settled in and feel comfortable somewhere, some giant traumatic event happens that really causes my whole world to change. I mean, that's how I ended up in LA. Luckily, I think this is the right path I'm supposed to be on. I've been here almost 3 years now, and it's been good. We've even had, even though in the 3 years I've been here, though, I've moved twice already. So, yeah. And so every time something happens, it's upheaval. So for that, that doesn't necessarily mean death. It just means a lot of
change.
A lot of change. So the tower is, again, yeah, that idea of you have to destroy something to make something new, you know. So my life has always been moving constantly. Mm-hmm. I've lived everywhere from Redding, California, all the way up north to Tijuana in Mexico. Wow. Not for long. I was only there for like 6 months, but still. And all over California, you know. So I start to get comfortable in a school or with a new group of friends. And then, oh, your grandma died. We got to move because we can't live here anymore.
Mm.
And then, oh, I can't afford to pay rent, so you got to go live with your dad in Redding. Oh, something happened with certain people and we can't stay in this town. We got to move. And that's fine. I think I'm actually really grateful for that because it has given me the opportunity to kind of flex my chameleon abilities, which even ties into the cosplay thing. You know, it's I had to wear a lot of masks growing up. I had to very quickly code switch and learn how people talked in different places to fit in. And I think that, again, is kind of why horror has been one of the few consistent things in my life. They're always making horror movies and movie theaters are everywhere. You know, you can always reliably go to a movie theater and there's usually at least one horror movie playing. And so even if I move to a new town, I go to a horror movie or even just horror spaces, you know, which is why I think we need more horror spaces. Mm-hmm. That's why I love working where I work. But it's a place I could go and meet like-minded people. You know, I'd go to the movie store, like the, I mean, they used to have Blockbuster, not anymore, but wherever. Even a bookstore, you know, you can go to the horror section of a bookstore and you'll see goth people. And then I go, oh, these are my people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I should try and talk to them. I see they're holding, you know, Interview with the Vampire or something. And I'm just like, so Lestat and Louis, messy, right? And that's how you make new friends.
Yeah.
That's how I made new friends here.
That, I mean, to not feel settled for a long time and not be able to like grow roots. So would you say that you grew your roots into the community, I'm assuming the nerd community as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Cosplay and everything is involved.
Because it does go beyond horror for me. As much as I am a horror fan, you know, I've got a great group of people I'm going to go hang out with after this that I play D&D with every Monday. I love them. They're like a second family to me. All of my friends are cosplayers. I live in a house right now of almost eight people.
Wow.
Technically four, but the other four are just always there.
Just always there.
Which is fine. It's like a sitcom. I feel like I'm in Friends. I just come in and there's two people who do not live here and they're on my couch playing video games, playing
all
Marvel Rivals.
Time.
And I'm like, oh, hey guys, you're here now.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I love it because it is a real sense of community. And all of them, we all cosplay together. We all do, like we're planning a dispatch group cosplay for ALA.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome, you know? And so it's fun. We like to watch things together. We watch Smiling Friends together every time it comes out or other stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we go, okay, so Matt's definitely got to be this guy because he's like the giant Superman type character.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do that one. And
which,
then, you know.
Oh, sorry. Which cosplay from Dispatch are you going to do?
I'm going to be Robert.
Which one's Robert?
Mecha Man.
Oh.
He's the main guy.
Oh, the main guy. Yeah, that's very you, I feel like.
Yeah, he's, I think also being the oldest in my family, I do have like kind of, I was forced into the role of leader a lot of the time. So I do kind of have the
reluctant,
like Cyclops, the Robert kind of like, oh God, okay.
God, everyone just do what you're told. Please
just listen for 5 seconds,
yeah,
please.
Exactly. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I totally relate to not being able to find a space that you feel like you belong until I met fellow nerds, like going to cons and doing like nerdy things, like playing League of Legends in college. That's how I started cosplaying in the first place. So I relate a lot to what you're saying about horror. And I think it applies to a lot of people. So
100%.
I
think in general, people got to find their community because there's so many communities. And I think the most beautiful part is the overlap because, you know, as much as there's I do a little bit of everything. My first weekend I cosplayed at a con was at SAC Anime in 2017, I think. And I did Dobby from My Hero Academia, who's an anime character, but he's still covered in these beautiful purple scars and staples. He has a very Frankenstein look to him, mm-hmm. with this like patchwork coat.
Horror.
It's very horror. Mm-hmm. And then he has a horrific background too. He's a very horrific backstory. And then the other character I did was Connor from Detroit Become Human, which is a very different look.
I love
look.
That game. It's also, so you look a lot like him.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And then I did 2D from Gorillaz, which was all over the place. You know, you've got a video game character from this like cyberpunk dystopian kind of, I mean, it's, you know, Detroit Become Human is beautiful. It's this kind mm-hmm. of weird conversation that they're having. And then you had anime, really hardcore, like at the time, very popular anime. And then you also had Gorillaz, you know, which is mm-hmm. It's nowhere near any of that. It's a band.
But I will say all of those things have a similar typecast to them, despite being from different genres.
It's a twink. I'm a twink.
You know what? I wasn't going to say it, but
it's true.
A horror twink, if you will.
Absolutely. That's my typecast. For a while, it was twink in a suit.
Twink in a suit.
That was like my brand. It was whenever the new twink of the month came out, they'd be like, oh, when are you going to cosplay Reagan Arataka? And I'm like, I'll get around to it. I'll get around. Don't worry.
That's so funny. I feel like you need merch.
Just twink in a suit on a t-shirt.
Twink in a suit. Yeah. I can see a logo.
I think we just need to put a blazer and a tie on Robert.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you played all of this?
Yes. I'm caught up.
I am not. I just finished chapter 4.
Okay. So you're halfway.
Yesterday.
It's so good.
It's so good.
So good.
So good. I already ordered everything that I could possibly need for a Malevola
and be so cool.
Blonde blazer.
Yeah, I could see that. Are you just going to use your own hair?
No. Wow. I am weird about wigs being or hair being perfect. I'm a nitpicky,
very perfectionist.
Yeah.
Totally fair.
Like my hair doesn't look just right.
There's some characters where I'm like that. It was my thing with Eddie. Was I'm like, I could grow my hair out and just get this haircut. This is my hair texture. But then I'd have Eddie's haircut 24/7, which I wouldn't be against. But it's very hard to kind of distance myself from the character at that point.
Maintenance also.
But for years, with this length, But for years, I had the Steve Harrington haircut, and I would just use it for so much because it's so versatile.
Yeah.
I was Billy Loomis from Scream with that same, like, brown mullet, half mullet, like, with the little bangs in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve, and then Ash Williams, and I was like, this is so cool. I don't have to wear a wig for any of these guys. And then I was like, what if I put a white streak in my hair? And now I can't do any of them. Now I have to go buy wigs for all those characters I used to do all the time. I was like, damn. That's why I like Eddie very consistently. I could just put this wig on. It's so easy.
Yeah. I, for a long time, had the very quintessential, like, platinum blonde side bang comic book super heroine hair. And I would use that whenever I would do, like, Supergirl or any of the other Captain Marvel, Black Canary. All of them have the same hair. But then I decided that I needed to leave the side bang in the past. And now I have to buy wigs as well. I understand.
The middle part's good, though. It looks good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm hip, right, guys?
I've got a middle part, too. I totally get it.
Fellow youths. So what are your favorite horror films and games?
Oh,
the genre as a whole?
Oh, man. That's a big one. It's like asking me to pick a favorite child, or more accurately, like a favorite pet. My favorite horror movie of all time, and I feel very comfortable saying this with no, like, without a doubt, it's Scream. The first Scream movie is my favorite.
Classic.
Yeah, Billy Loomis and Sydney and all of those characters. A fantastic cast, amazing cast. Skeet Ulrich and just all those guys are incredible. The first time I watched it, I must have been 13 too, and I had never had it spoiled because I wasn't really online as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So the twist in that movie really just kind of, in the sense of humor, even in that movie, it's such a clever movie. This is funny and scary. I like this.
Yeah, and it holds up.
And all the other Scream movies are good too. They're not as good as the first one, but they're all good. You know? A couple other favorites. I don't know if Donnie Darko counts as horror necessarily, but that's one of my favorite movies, and it's very horror adjacent.
I think so.
I've cosplayed Donnie to horror cons, and people get it. They're like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. So.
That's the first time I ever heard cult classic was somebody describing Donnie Darko.
It's a great way to describe it. Yeah, it's a great movie. And then video games. I mean, Resident Evil's really easy to say. Like, Resident Evil 2 is fantastic.
It's easy to say.
I love Leon. He's a twink. But you know,
everyone loves Leon.
Who doesn't? He's Leon Kennedy.
Baby girl.
Yeah. I love cosplaying him. He's one of my favorites to do for like after parties at cons, because what we'll do is, oh man, it was so funny. Are you sexy Leon? Yeah. At AX 1 year, we're already pre-gaming at my apartment. And my friend Sage is like, dude, you need the tramp stamp. And
yes.
I'm like, okay. So I rolled my shirt up and I like safety pinned it up to get the crop top look.
Yes.
And I just leaned up against the wall, like really drunk. I was like, ugh. And then she's drunk too. She pulls out an eyeliner pen and freehands the most beautiful tramp stamp I've ever. We've not been able to recreate it since. I don't know what it was, but the power of God and anime was on our side that night. And we had, there's a great Polaroid somewhere pinned up in my house of me leaning up against the wall with my tramp stamp. And so why is everybody so mean to me?
Good. As it should be.
But on the other side of that spectrum, I do love Silent Hill. And I do cosplay James Sunderland. I think that was one of the most fun ones I've made because it's so simple. Mm-hmm. And all I needed to do was get some custom patches from Etsy. Everything else was thrifted. I even used the same wig I used for Leon, which was funny. And then Alan Wake is an underrated one that not enough people know about. It's like if Stephen King made a video game. It's it's both of them, the first and second game, Alan Wake and Alan Wake 2, are beautiful, terrifying games. They're so fun and so well written.
I unfortunately am an Alan Wake hater.
Why do you hate? You hate Alan Wake?
I'm so sorry. Not a
hater is a strong word.
I know. I don't hate it, but I'm a hater because I tried to play it on stream, the first one, not the second one. And
it's the damn birds, wasn't it?
It was the tediousness of doing the same things over and over again.
No, that's fair. The gameplay in the first game isn't great. I'll give you that. It's not great. I just like the writing of the first game. And I honestly, I just sped ran through that shit. Honestly, if you ask my wife, she'll tell you I was yelling a lot while playing that first game. I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Can I swear on this podcast?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Please.
I was like, I invite it, actually. I remember especially there's one mission where like you're supposed to protect this guy who doesn't like you anyway, and there's a bunch of birds and you have to like stun them in the air with the flashlight and then you have to shoot them. And I restarted that mission like fucking four times and I was pissed. I was like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
This game sucks. And then it got to the end and he's like, it's not a lake, it's an ocean. And I was like, fuck, it's genius. Why didn't I think of that? So smart. Such clever writing. And the second game really blew me away. The graphics in that second game.
I've also figured out
the gameplay of the second game.
Okay. I've heard great things about the second game. I never made it to the
second game. It's got some really cool. The second one's almost more of a puzzle game. Like you're going and writing. Because you're in the story at that point that he's writing. And so what you can go and do is like completely change the environment by choosing different story beats. So like there's in the earlier parts of the game as Alan, you're running around and you're in New York or a version of New York, and he's like writing this book about like a cult, but you can decide if it's like a cult that like sets people on fire, and if you set people on fire the whole place is on fire, but you're able to get through certain pathways differently, or they can be like a weird satanic death cult, so instead there's like a train crash and then you got to go through this train. It's really neat.
Okay. You've sold me on Alan Wake 2.
And you know what, if you hate the gameplay, just watch someone else play it. That's okay.
Fair.
That's okay.
That's probably what I'll do for the first one, and then I'll actually pick the second one up and give it another shot. Because I wanted to play Alan Wake 1 in order to play Alan Wake 2.
Yeah, that's what I did. I forced myself to.
Yeah.
I probably should have just watched someone play it.
No, I respect it. I just, there is I have a very specific ADHD where if I start to do too many repetitive tasks in a row, I get a crazy aversion to like finishing the thing. And that is one of the unfortunate.
That's why I fell off Marvel Rivals.
Yeah.
I got tired of being a heel bot and my teammates would not listen to me.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I can't boot up a match, have everyone try and dive. I'm in the back lines. They're all yelling at me for healing. Mm-hmm. None of them will come back to get healing. None of them will stay on the goddamn point. Mm-hmm. This is bullshit. I just keep hearing, well, can't expect to win them all. And it's driving me insane. Every 15 minutes, well, can't expect to win them all.
Amazing.
I damn near wanted to strangle every member and Galacta by the end of my time with that game.
You
I picked
what?
It back up to try out Gambit. He's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. I'm a diehard X-Men fan. Because as much as I love horror, X-Men is a horror in a way.
It's also very body everything horror. That you've talked about.
Oh, yeah, found family.
It's found family.
Messy found family. Messy yeah. queer found family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot going on with the X-Men.
Totally.
I love them, though.
It's a fantastic series.
Mutant proud.
Yeah. I want to know if you have any horror hot takes. Now that we're on.
Yes.
We're deep into the horror. I had this whole plan. I was going to talk about how we came to do this episode because of the Baby No Money Pokemon event and that you were Rhyhorn, but we're in the horror pit right now and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, so. I'm calling dibs. If we ever do a second Pokemon one, like for Gen 2, I want a ghost type Pokemon next time.
Yeah, I actually...
I do love the three that we got though. They were amazing.
That was
they
me.
Were yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, that was you. I cut that out. I knew that.
No, it's okay. I asked you. All three of you guys were amazing. Earlier, so
that's
it's okay.
True. It's confusing.
It is confusing.
You look so different. You're it's Chrissy true. Now.
I am Chrissy
You're
now.
You're a chameleon. You were a haunter.
Yes, I was a haunter.
God, that was so good. You had Thank the staff you. And everything. Yes. Like, God, oh, so cool.
Yeah, we had a fog machine in that bad boy.
And then Ashlyn was Gang. No, Ghastly.
Ghastly. Yeah. And Raven was Gengar. Yeah.
All three of you were just amazing. Next time I want to join you guys, if we do Gen 2, I just want to be one of the ghost types.
Totally.
Pretty please. It's in my username.
Love. Yeah, it truly is. I think that you have earned a spot in the ghost type roster. I happen to have that Haunter costume from two AXs ago.
Oh, wow.
That I never finished. Have you ever been gluing a costume on yourself up until like 3 or 4 p.m.? I'm sure you have. All of us have. And then you are like rushing downstairs because a bunch of people have been texting you and you're just trying to get down there and everything's falling off of you. That's what happened to me with that Haunter costume. And I didn't want to look at it for a year and a half after that. But I knew one day I wanted to bring it back and actually do the last 10% finishing touches on it.
I've got a couple costumes like that in my garage right now.
Mm-hmm,
Or even I had an Iron Fist costume that I made for Marvel Rivals. I was really proud of it. It was the first thing I ever like properly sewed together by myself.
Wow.
And then my brother was like, hey, we were doing a con in Vegas for my birthday earlier this year. And he was like, I don't really have any costumes. Cause he cosplays when I give him stuff to wear.
Yeah.
He's a dancer. That's his thing. So that's where he puts all of his time and energy into. And he's really great. But, he's like, can I just borrow your Iron Fist? And I'm like, yeah. And then we got out of the Uber and he's like, I don't know where the mask is. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. It's gone. And I was like, what do you mean it's gone? What do you mean it's gone? We were in the Uber for 5 minutes how did you lose it in the 5 minutes that we left the hotel to getting to the con? And he's
what?
Like, I don't know. But I mean, he's my little brother. So what are you going to do? I was just like, well, your maskless Iron Fist for the rest of the day, bro. I don't know what to tell you. That's
did
on
you.
Did
you find it?
No, it's gone.
What?
But that's the thing. So now, you know, I have this costume that I would wear more often, but I don't want to go back and remake the mask.
You have to.
I know.
You have to.
The wig's also messed up. Now it's been in a box. You have to restyle the wig. It's a whole thing.
That's okay.
Got to make my arm wraps again. I don't know where those are.
That's okay.
The last 10% is what I'm telling you.
The last 10%. I get it. But yeah, I I'm not lying to you, be the first person in that Google Doc.
Wow.
I don't know how fate happened upon me that
day. Just click on the draw.
But I clicked on it. I happened to look at my phone. I clicked on it and I was like, huh. It's blank. And I was
Don't
debating.
Mind if I do.
Yeah, I was debating making something new and I saw Haunter open and was like, this is the responsible thing to do. And I locked it in.
It's full circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love stuff like that. There's been times, I mean, I've had costumes like that. That's kind of what happened with Eddie. I was really annoying. I was really annoying for the longest time. I've always been a Stranger Things fan. There's a really, really sad and really cute post on my mom's Instagram somewhere. Uh-huh. Don't go looking for that. Don't be weird. I had like a really bad day at school and my mom being the mother that she is, took a photo of me like crying on our couch because I've been bullied at school.
What?
I've got like the most chopped ass hair. I'm wearing like a Pokemon t-shirt.
Aww.
I look terrible. I'm like 15 at the time, but I look like 9.
She documented that?
She took a photo and then she took a photo of Dustin on the screen on Stranger Things. Aww. And then it was just like, kiddo had a bad day at school, so we're watching our favorite show. And I was like, that's really cute, but also, mom, what the hell?
What the hell?
I look chopped as fuck. I look terrible. Don't do that to me.
That's so
but
funny.
But I went back and I looked at that post recently and I was like, damn, yeah, I guess it has been like 10 years. I've been a fan a long time. But when season 4 came out, I remember there was this stupid stupid trend going around that really irritated me because it was the most annoying sound in the world. I apologize to whoever made it if you see this video. Actually, I'm not sorry. You should never have made it, but it was the like fucking Chrissy, wake up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like it. And that's all I had seen from season four. Uh-huh. And so instantly I was like, Eddie Munson is the most annoying motherfucker in the entire world. I never ever. And also that same weekend that season four came out, everyone was messaging me being like, dude, you need to cosplay Eddie Munson. When are you going to cosplay Eddie Munson? Uh-huh. And unfortunately, back then, oh God, 3 years ago, I was a vindictive little bitch. And I was like, I don't like doing what I'm told. What? I was like, what? Just because this guy's annoying and he deals drugs and he's annoying. Oh, so he's me? I don't even deal drugs. I just do them, guys. Come on.
Uh-huh.
And then it took me like a year to actually watch the show. But somebody had bought me a Hellfire Club t-shirt. And I was like, sure, whatever. And then I remember I had like a bunch of random crap lying around that people had been giving me because they're like, you need to cosplay Eddie.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
ugh. And the more people, you're the type of person, the more people will tell you to do it, the less you want to do it.
Not anymore. Now people are like, you should cosplay Astarion from Baldur's Gate. And I'm like, who is this guy? Oh, okay, I'm down.
Oh, yeah.
Instantly.
Also, up your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Oh, he's a vampire. Vampires are my other thing. Yeah. That's my speciality.
Oh, really?
But anyway, so then a year after season four came out, I finally got around to watching it because I was like, man, I miss Stranger Things. I should probably get around to watching season four because that show's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was immediately irritated with Eddie because the first scene that he's in, this is my hot take, I guess one of my horror hot takes.
Yeah.
That first scene that Eddie is in is fucking abysmal. He's so obnoxious. It's also, I hate it because that frame of him, I'll do it real quick, the stupid fucking...
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's the only photo of him that ever gets posted.
I know.
He looks so stupid. And in the context of the scene... He's just being a dick for no reason. No one's even like, it's not like he's like fighting back against the bullies. These basketball players are just like walking by him and he's just like, parties and you're throwing balls into hoops and he's fucking standing on the tables. Like people are eating there, man. Like what the fuck's your problem? Like I get it. They bully you sometimes. They're not bothering you right now. What are you doing being a dick for no reason? And then he doesn't do anything like that for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversations that he has with those kids, immediately I was like, oh, never mind. He's me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I talk to my younger brother and all of his friends I am just that guy. And then they go play D&D with him and he's the most like, you know, kind of fun and energetic DM I've ever seen. It was also the first time I'd actually seen people, obviously Stranger Things season one, the kids are playing, but that was the first time I'd seen like a real group of like older-ish people playing D&D. And I was like, oh, cool. So it isn't weird that I still do that.
Mm-hmm,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so that and the rest of his story arc with him being this kind of unsung hero, this person that at the end of the day is a really good person who does really care about the people in his town and about his friends and about Chrissy even, is really, because of perspective, you know, being misinterpreted as like this demonic figure. And I really heavily relate to that. I am someone who has been misunderstood and misinterpreted my entire life because of my hobbies and interests, because of my music taste, because of the way that I dress and whatever. And at the end of the day, anyone who's like my close friend knows that I am above all things really loyal. And I just love my friends and I just want to take care of them. And I think seeing that reflected in Eddie, in someone who would go as far as to like risk his life and ultimately give his life for a town that hated him. I think it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It makes me so sad. It really is.
I miss you, Eddie.
I was just watching clips earlier.
To prepare.
Yeah. Well, just... It's all over my For You page now.
Well, it's straight, dude. The PR team at Netflix they're like, this is our last season.
They're crushing it.
We gotta sell as many Stranger Things t-shirts as we can.
Yeah, literally.
And it's working.
It's working.
I went to the store yesterday. And I bought this like Hellfire Club from Target.
Stop. It's so cute.
But it holds my AirPods.
It's an AirPod case. Oh my God, it's so cute.
I am not immune to propaganda.
They put a Hellfire Club
logo on it. I'll buy it. I got the cup.
Yeah. All
not
of it.
Sponsored. So, wish I was Netflix.
Netflix?
Let me know.
Call us up.
They didn't invite me to the red carpet. I'm sad.
Ugh,
I should have been there.
Terrible.
It's okay.
Next time.
Oh.
Next time. There won't be last season. But you know, your cosplay is great.
Thank you.
And the show is going to come out. It's going to be really cool. Do you have any predictions?
I predict that Eddie's not coming back, and I think everyone who's like, he's going to come back as a vampire is 12. What are we talking about?
12 or hopeful?
Or hopeful, I guess. I don't know.
Naive.
Naive is exactly the word. I'm like, dog, you watch the same show I watch, right? Like,
yeah,
that's not happening.
Yeah.
The thing people seem to misunderstand about Stranger Things, they're terrified of killing off any of their main characters.
Yeah.
And that's why every season they introduce a character that's the fan favorite that gets killed off in the last couple episodes to really pull at your heartstrings. And Eddie was the sacrificial lamb of season four. He's not coming back. They didn't bring Bob back. They didn't bring Alexi back. They didn't bring... There was a whole thing. I remember it was, bring back Barb. Oh, she's going to come back. She's going to be a zombie or something. She's going to come back. No.
Never.
No. Eddie's not coming back.
Who do you think is going to die in this last season?
I don't even want to talk about that.
No?
I don't want to manifest.
No predictions?
I'll give you a hint. Who I think is going to die, and it's going to piss me off, and I'm going to be really sad because he deserves better. He's got a baseball bat. He's the world's best babysitter. Yes. My love of my life.
I also think that's going to happen, and it makes me sad as well. It's my favorite character.
I saw a really funny post about it, too. Somebody was like, Steve Harrington, don't you dare sacrifice yourself for Dustin. Let Will do it. Nobody likes him anyway. I was like, fuck.
Holy shit.
It was so funny, though. I was like, damn.
Oh, my God.
That's fucked up.
Poor Joyce has been through so much.
Though. I'm excited. I love Joyce. I love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my next Stranger Things cosplays is I'm doing Joyce.
Joyce?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
From season one with the
That's
axe.
Awesome.
I'm going to try and build like a set so I have the lights behind me with the words in it. I love her.
Yeah,
I love Winona Ryder. Winona Ryder, if you see this, I love you. Hi.
An icon. Really.
She's amazing. Been a fan since Beetlejuice when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything she's in, she's just amazing.
I agree. Everything is incredible, everything she touches. So did you give me a horror hot take? Was that your horror hot take?
One of them was that I think Eddie's first scene is terrible. My other one that I wanted to throw out there, I may need like a bodyguard next time I go to a horror con. Please don't kill me, Jason Voorhees cosplayers. Friday the 13th, the remake, the one with Sam Winchester, Jared Padalecki from the early 2010s, that's the best Friday the 13th movie, and I will die on this hill.
Really?
It's got everything you want. The thing about the Friday the 13th, I went recently, and you know what? Shout out to James, James H. Anise at Dead Meat. He hosted this. It was like a screening of the first movie in a park. It was so cool and spooky. That movie's fucking boring. I'm sorry. Kind of fuck all happens for like 2 hours, and then at the end, they're like, oh, and it was his mom. And I'm like, yeah, I forgot Jason's not even in this movie. The most iconic character is not even in it. And then the second one, he never wears a hockey mask. He's wearing a bag over his head.
I know
a lot of people are like, no, that's what makes it cool. I'm like, dude, when people think of Jason Voorhees, like, okay, I don't know how well-versed in horror you are, but like, what do you think of when you think of Friday the 13th? Just name some things.
It's a hockey mask, Camp Crystal Lake, jumpsuit, a big knife.
Yeah, he doesn't get any of that shit until the third movie.
Ah.
Yeah. But you know what he does have in the remake straight out the gate is he starts in the sack head and then like, within this, like, first half hour or so he gets a hockey mask, and you've got a bunch of crazy like unique kills. You've got fucking the other thing I like about that movie is that it wasn't weird because it wasn't teenagers having sex, it was all college students, so it's not like fucking weird and fucked up.
You're not
watching it going, oh, what the god, there's children's boobs, what the hell's going on?
I do, that is a W for sure.
Exactly, it's a win. They were like, you know what, maybe we should age these guys up a little bit if we're gonna be showing them, you know, fucking on screen. I appreciate that. Also, most of the characters in that movie are unlikable, which is why it's one of the most fun films to watch, because the whole time you're just kind of going, yeah, I'm really excited for Jason to kill this rich asshole. This guy who's like, oh yeah, we're on my father's yacht. And I'm like, this guy fucking sucks. And then Jason fucking kills him and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, that's I know what you mean.
You just get to skip all the boring crap. That movie's great. You just skip, and he's arguably the scariest. This is the only movie, I think, where we see Jason dead on sprinting at people in the woods. That's terrifying.
It is terrifying. I think being chased is the most terrifying thing for me personally. Yeah.
By Jason too.
By Jason, that's terrifying in Resident Evil.
Oh God.
2.
Nemesis. Mr. X?
Mr. X,
dude,
where he's like chasing you the entire game.
He just punches through a wall.
Yes!
That shit freaked me out.
Yes!
That was awful.
Terrifying. So your hot take is that is it the remake or is it number 3?
It's just called Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th
and it's
is the
remake.
Best horror movie?
Friday the 13th, the remake, I want to say 2009, but if I'm wrong, sue me, I think is the best one. Also, it has fucking Jared Padalecki. That guy's awesome.
I don't know enough about horror to know if this is a good or bad take, so I need everyone in the comments to
Everyone
let
in
me
the
know.
Comments, tell me if I suck or not. Tell me if I'm dumb or not.
Is Friday the 13th the best Jason Voorhees movie?
It is.
There we go. Where was I going with this? Oh, you mentioned horror conventions earlier. Do you attend a lot of horror conventions? And what would you say is the biggest difference between an anime or a pop culture comic con and a horror con?
Oh, man. I do attend a lot of them. I try to attend as many as I can when I can. Some great ones in California. You've got CreepyCon or Creep IE. It's the same place they hold ALA. That one's at the end of January. And then Midsummer Scream is amazing every time. That's one of my favorite ones, especially because they go all out and they have like, they have the vendors hall and they have all the different people showcasing trailers for movies and doing showcases for like special effects and stuff. But then they utilize more of the space because it's a giant convention center. Mm-hmm. And in the second half of the space, they have haunts, like horror night stuff. You have local haunts that are bringing their haunts to the convention center and you get to go awesome. Through and get scared. And Lionsgate did a really cool one with like The Strangers and Saw and all those movies. And it was so cool. So I think I do a lot of them. I highly recommend them. The main difference, in my opinion, a controversial take about the anime community lately is it has started to feel like high school with how popular it's become. I have felt that it's very quickly felt like less, it's become almost too big. It's not niche anymore. So it's not just weirdos anymore, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I love my normies too, but some of them don't know how to behave or be nice. Mm-hmm. If you're at a horror con and I'm in a costume, I know people, I mean, even that have, you know, inaccurate Eddie Munson cosplays and stuff. And I'm not the person that's like, actually, anime cons, however, if I walk around in an inaccurate anime costume, dude, I've been told that I'm not the right body type, that I'm not tall enough, that I'm not, I've had, not just that, but the amount of like, racism I've seen in the anime community. The main difference is that the horror community is still really niche and really small and mostly full of weirdos for better and for worse. It's also just a lot of older people because a lot of horror that is like more popular is stuff from the 80s and even 70s. So, or 90s with Scream and stuff. So you have a lot of people who are even, you know, in their 40s and 50s going to these cons still dressing up like Jason and you know, Leatherface and stuff. And they just have had more time at conventions. I think it's kind of almost even the difference between like a Star Trek convention and an anime convention. It's just smaller and people are a little more well behaved because of that, because it's not a trend. That's the issue right now that I'm seeing with the anime community is like, fuck, AX was a nightmare. There's way too many people. It's way overcrowded because anime has become like the new hip thing. Mm-hmm. And even people who aren't necessarily passionate about it, they go and they treat it like a zoo. Mm-hmm. The amount of normal people who I've seen where I'll be sitting and eating and they come up to me and they're like, can I take your photo? And then I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, you don't have to be an asshole. And I'm like, well, I'm eating.
Yeah.
So, but that would never happen at a horror con. It's why I do feel safer in those communities. Again, the smaller you get, I think the more comfortable it gets. And I love anime still. I'm a huge anime fan. I have the JoJo like tattoo on my back. It was my first tattoo. But yeah, it's just the size and the kind of actual passion, I think. Because again, there's obviously, I still have a ton of friends who are super passionate about anime. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a bunch of people there that are still like really committed to it. And that's why they go. However, we have started to just attract people who are there for sightseeing and do not know how to behave and do not know how to respect people and boundaries.
Right.
And then get mad at you when you set normal boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Even Comic Cons, like with the comic book community, like WonderCon is amazing. Oh, God, I love WonderCon. That's a really fun one. It's my favorite Comic Con for sure.
Gotcha.
My favorite con in general is probably. This is really silly. I think it's technically an anime convention, but I think it's just because it's so niche. It's in Arizona. Don't go ruin this. Don't show up and be weird. Cool people only. It's Saboten Con in Arizona. It's this really small con in Arizona. It's like it's all in one hotel, but like the hotel is like all of the rooms that people are staying in are above it, and then you take the elevator down, and boom, you're in the con.
There's something so cozy and fun and crazy.
It feels like a 2012
about a hotel.
It's crazy.
Con.
There's people cosplaying Homestuck still. It's awesome.
That's sick. Actually,
I've got some great friends out there that just do Homestuck every year, and I'm like, this is fantastic. Oh, this is so good. Or they do Breaking Bad. They do Walter White. And
yeah.
Oh God, it's so good. And I think that they've got a real, because again, I love LA. One of the issues we have here is there is kind of a weird, I don't know how to describe it other than like, it almost feels like fast fashion, where again, it's a trend. I mean, cosplay mm-hmm. has become a trend to a lot of people, which is fine. I mean, get mm-hmm. your bag. I respect it. But I do kind of miss the, it's why I like that Baby No Money event so much, actually, was because it was a lot of people who I could sit there and talk to about things. I could tell that, you know, the people that he had invited, or I guess his manager had invited, were clearly people who were passionate. Like, you're clearly passionate about it. You had that costume lying around for however long. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a thing you did for the clout of it. You did it because you like Pokemon and you wanted to hang out with your friends. All these a lot of people you knew, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had a bunch of mutual friends there. And so events like that, I think, are my favorite, honestly. It's just gatherings and get-togethers.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a perfect segue to talk about why you're here in the first place.
Yeah.
We met at the event, the Baby No Money 151 Pokemon event, and I had posted in the Discord if anyone wanted to come be a guest on the podcast, and you were like,
hell
me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I freaking love talking about myself.
I appreciate that. This perfect opportunity to do that for 2 hours.
Yeah, hell yeah.
but you were Rhyhorn.
Yes.
Can you tell us how you came to be involved with the event?
Shout out to my friend Yumi. Yumi, if you're watching this, I hope you're watching this. I love you. And thank you for the invite. It was really funny. My entire household ended up at that event because
yeah.
we needed people to fill in the gaps. And so what happened was, initially Yumi invited me and Kai. And then our roommate Sage was like, hey, do they need anyone else? And we were like, yeah, we still have a couple that we need. So then they got invited. And then we still needed some people. And one of the ones we needed was Machoke. And my friend Matt, he's the guy that cosplays like Superman and all those other giant buff characters. He's like, well, I would do that. That seems pretty easy for me. I've got the build. And I was like, perfect. Sure. And then they still needed more people. And then Fearow opened up. And my friend Axel, he's Native American. And he's like, actually, I have a really kind of cool idea for Fearow, where it's like this kind of Native American take. And we're like, okay, here's the invite link. And then slowly but surely, everyone in my household was there. We got Mari in there as Drowsy. And then they needed a Slowpoke, so then her boyfriend ended up being Slowpoke. It was really fun. It was really cool. I love whatever, because again, that's my, like, it's like my family, you know, we all live together. There's the 8 people that I all live with, you know, and so having everyone there for an event like that was really fun, especially because, like, me and Nick are both, like, longtime fans of Baby No Money, so that part was really surreal.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to him since I was in high school. You know,
really?
Years, I remember listening to him on SoundCloud and stuff. My brother showed him to me. And I was like, oh, cool. Him and Young Gravy, man, they're great.
Yeah, so what a fun full circle moment.
And I get to cosplay Pokemon with a bunch of cool people, and I get to meet Baby No Money.
Hell yeah. Did you end up getting to do content or anything with him?
I am not, I guess, brave enough.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay.
So no, but right. I did. It was really fun. I also just felt bad because I wasn't sure how any of it worked. This is my first time going to an event like that. So I was like,
I don't think anyone knew how it worked.
No. So I was like, was this like, I don't want to interrupt people. I don't want to interrupt him. I didn't want to walk up and be like, hey, can you film a TikTok with me real quick? That seems to be what I should have done. That seems to be what most people were doing.
That
but
is
I was like,
everyone was doing.
Oh, so when I got there, I was one of the like first 50 people there, I think, before everyone really started showing up. And I was just watching him take photos and stuff with people. And I was like, this seems like planned. So I think I'm just going to watch and be respectful. Because this seems like a thing where he was asking these people for photos. Found out afterwards, all those people are just like, can we just get photos with you? And he's just like, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so towards the end of the night, I realized that. And I really did. I love my brother so much. And I was sad he couldn't be there to meet him. And I sent a selfie of us. And I was like, dude, that's crazy, right? And he's just like, holy shit. So then I was like, actually, Mr. Baby No Money, sir, could you send a video to like my brother real quick? He wishes
hell
he could be
yeah.
here. And so he sent a really fucking funny video where he's just like, Brayden, why aren't you here? And I was like, he lives in Reno. He's like, have you ever seen Reno 911? It's the whole video. My brother's like, what the fuck? It was awesome though. He's really a cool guy.
He is such a cool
guy.
I'm
really trying. I'm really campaigning. I want him to cosplay Homestuck.
Whoa.
The world needs risk and no money.
We should earworm Stella. That's how that will happen, I think. Stella is pulling the strings,
Stella. Need risk and no money. The world needs risk and no money.
Baby no home stuck.
My roommate makes arm socks. Mm-hmm. There's a personal connection with Andrew Hussey, the guy who created Homestuck. So I think it would break the internet, I think, or at least a certain side of the internet would definitely be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, definitely.
And they're trying to make an animated show right now. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that they announced it.
Cross promo.
Uh-huh.
All of it.
With the Hasbin Hotel stuff, right?
Yeah.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton of experience with Homestuck.
I do and I don't. It's all like by osmosis was like my partner and all of her friends growing up. They were super into it.
Okay.
So then I got like indoctrinated into it after we got together. She was like, hey, I've always really wanted to do like this couple's cosplay, these characters. So then I went back and researched it and read as much of it as I was able to with, you know, my time. And I still haven't finished it. I apologize. Fake fan, I guess. But I read as much of it as I could. And I know enough to know to if someone comes up to me at a con and they're like, oh, I love your Solix cosplay. I'm like, yeah, thanks, man.
There you go.
You know, then they're like, how did you feel about this, 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 and this? And I'm like, yeah, I thought it was good. I really liked it. And then they're like, wow, that's terrible that you would say that. I'm like, I go, babe, help, babe.
But you put in effort.
I try.
At all, which I think is good.
Yeah, I mean, the things that are important to my friends are important to me.
Yeah, exactly. So your experience was good at the actual event, the Pokemon event?
No, it was great. It was super fun. Made a lot of new friends, got to connect with a lot of people, got to connect with people I already knew, which was fun. The amount of people I ran into where I was like, oh, no way.
Yeah.
You're here too. It was super cool. And, you know, even just starting to talk to some people there about potentially making, you know, more content, making more cosplays and stuff with them was fun. And I'm excited for, you know, again, stuff like this, just getting to go out and hang out with more people, you know.
Yeah. I agree. I agree for sure. You mentioned earlier, if you were to have a cosplay D&D character sheet, you mentioned earlier off camera that you're not a foam smith, so that would be lowest stat. But what would be your highest stat and your middle stats?
My highest stat is distressing and weathering, which I don't think a lot of people realize is kind of super important.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, especially in horror, you can make a Spirit Halloween costume that looks like it was $20. If you know how to get it dirty the right way and tear it up and weather it in the right places, you can make it. I mean, even just shit you get on Amazon,
wherever. These are big facts that you're spitting right now.
Especially in anything horror. Or even just like, I don't know. Even just like modern stuff. Like anything that is people wearing clothes. Like this, you know. You do need to weather it. Otherwise, it looks brand new. That's also why I thrift a lot of stuff. Because the best way to weather something is to just fucking wear it. And someone's already worn it. Somebody already wore this jacket for like 50 years. That's why it looks as good as it does. I didn't do this. This is just natural.
Authentic.
This is some old guy. It was really funny, actually. The guy who I bought this from, his name was Eddie. So
no
I was like,
way.
That's funny. It's his real jacket.
That's crazy.
Hope he's doing okay. but yeah, beyond that, like there's times, I mean, like my Leon Kennedy one was obviously one I was not going to be able to thrift. It's a, well, kind of. You go to costume warehouses and stuff. Like I got the base clothes for it. The like pants and the shirt were a real decommissioned police officer uniform. But most cops haven't actually fought off a zombie apocalypse. So when they turn in their uniforms, they're actually pretty nice. So I needed to look like I had gone through a zombie apocalypse. So I had to weather it and cover it in blood and dirt and grime. And there's some really cool ways to do that. They make a lot of cool products out there because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to weather stuff. I'm just going to leave it outside and drag it through the mud. And I'm like, that's fucking gross.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. You know they make fake dirt, right?
Right.
You can put fake dirt on it and it'll look good and smell good still and you won't look gross.
Yeah,
you won't actually be gross though.
Have dirt and mold and
exactly.
Rot on
you're
you.
Not having real
bugs.
Issues, you know.
Yeah.
And so, that's definitely my most prolific skill, I guess you could say. I mean, if anyone here cares and wants to look at my account, I probably at this point, whenever this gets uploaded, I definitely have a video, but I should be posting photos soon of my, I did the grabber from the Black Phone 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fun because we had to cover it in snow, but forever. So, you know, it always needs to look like I'm covered in snow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this really great company. Oh no, I'm blanking on their name. Pale Night. Night, like the nighttime, not like a night. Pale Night makes this incredible line of perma products where it's, they've got perma grime, perma snow, mm-hmm. and my favorite, perma blood. Perma blood is the coolest shit in the whole world. You can put it on any, I use it on everything. I use mm-hmm. it on anything and everything that I can possibly get, put it on because it is so realistic looking and it dries like a resin almost. So it's never coming off. That's why it's called perma snow or perma blood.
That's amazing.
So we used perma snow. I used a layer of spray paint on like the clothes. Mm-hmm. I thrifted all that too, which was really fun. I just literally, it was crazy. Me and my friend Mads went to a thrift store and I was just like, okay, I need a black shirt, like a black button up shirt. I need a red turtleneck mm-hmm. and I need black bell bottoms. I don't know if we're going to find it all. And then I found it all in one store.
The cosplay gods have smiled like, yes. upon you on this
day. It was even
day.
Better because we only had a week to get it done because we needed it for his presentation. So the fact yeah. that we were able to find it and source it all in one day.
Amazing.
Magnolia Boulevard. If you're a horror fan, go to Magnolia Boulevard in Burbank. All the stores up and down that street are incredible sources for nice. Horror stuff. You've got That's a Wrap, the Goodwill there, Mystic Museum. The Halloween store that's open year-round is right there too. Halloween Town, they're great. It's not a cosplay store at all, but always check out Blast from the Past comics. That place is amazing. I just love it in there.
You're
they're
giving
great
me
vibes.
A ton of places.
It's all on one street. It's all on one street. Just walk up and down the street.
Write all this down
you
later.
Should. It's perfect. It's a perfect place to go. But yeah, so then covered it in perma snow. Mm-hmm. So a layer of spray paint and then a layer of the perma snow, which is crazy because it's like, it dries like rock solid.
Yeah.
So when you touch me, I feel kind of sharp and jagged. But when you're looking at it, they put like glitter in it. So it really does
so it
glimmer
shines.
And shine the way that snow does. It's mm-hmm. got that real snow texture. It was kind of surreal.
That's awesome.
But it was a really fun thing to do. And that's you know, that's weathering too. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
My weakest skill, foam smithing. I think right beneath, and this isn't a great display of it at all today. This is just like my normal makeup I do every day. Right beneath weathering is makeup. My mom's a makeup artist and I used to do her homework for her. She'd give me like $20 to write her essays. So I learned a lot about how to do makeup. And she'd take me and I'd be her little model. So she'd like Halloween one year when she was in makeup school, she's like, okay, we're going to turn you into Beetlejuice today. I was like, cool. So then I got to watch her do the process and like even just like prosthetics and stuff is super fun. I'd say that's also right below makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Other things, I can make props pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love finding random garbage around my house and gluing it together and being like, huzzah, a weapon.
Yeah.
I once made really quickly, I wanted to do Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted my partner to be April O'Neil. And I wanted it to be in like the Borderlands style, like cel shaded like a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to spend like $150 on a camera. So what I did was I took, I think it was a hairbrush handle for the like grip. And I just used some cardboard to make the box of the camera. I used a sauce pack, like, you know, the sauce cups that you get ranch in. I mm-hmm. used one of those for the camera lens.
Nice.
And then I used like a pill bottle for the, I don't know, something on there. It's a camera. I don't know, cameras. I'm in front of one, not behind one.
Right.
And then I painted it all gray. And then I painted all the like logos on it. And I added all of this stuff. It needed a boom mic. Mm-hmm. So I took like the tip off of, my Xbox like headset microphone, the like mm-hmm. foam off of that, and I threw it onto some random crap that I had lying around, and it looked like a cartoon like mic camera thing that you would have as a news reporter, and it was really fun to make that. But
that's awesome.
Stuff like that, just having kind of a sense for 3D space and objects is really mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier as well that you come from a low income background,
yeah.
and so you. Are really, really good at thrifting and putting things together on a really tight, low budget.
Yep.
And I am wondering our final question, if you will. If you were to give tips to somebody who wanted to thrift and didn't have a large budget and to make a cosplay, what tips would you give somebody to start?
Download Mercari and Depop. It's a thrift store in your pocket, and most of the people on there don't know what they've got. obviously you want to avoid the like resellers who are like, oh, vintage t-shirt, $200. It doesn't matter. Don't go with that one, obviously. But you're going to find so much stuff. I mean, all of these rings are, you know, things that I found on Etsy and Depop. This belt was on fucking eBay. It's like $12, you know? So the shoes I found on Depop, these were, I think, $30. And, you know, if you were to go and try and buy them from the store brand new, they're going to be close to almost 100 and something, you know?
So, and you have to weather them yourself.
And you have to weather them. These were already worn in. Somebody already wore them for me. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know, the jeans I got at a thrift store, the jacket I got from Eddie, the vest I got at a thrift store. And then these were all things I either made or bought secondhand at punk stores. The best advice I can give is figure out where your local thrift stores are and figure out, like, try to, when you get there, especially like Goodwill does really awesome deals every day where they're like, all the green tags are 50% off,
mm-hmm.
or all the black tags are 50% off. And the other thing sometimes is knowing what's important and what's not. Eddie's a terrible example because I love him so much that I have spent too much money. This is like the third version I've done of this costume because originally I had like a women's, I think it was literally like cowboy brand or something. I don't know, but it was just a denim jacket that I cut up that I found at a thrift store. But it looked good.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't perfect, but I didn't care at the time. Now I care a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that you can do. You can make kind of little, you know, accommodations and little compromises in your costume while still maintaining the overall effect. I have the exact rings that he wore on the show because I'm crazy.
Uh-huh.
You can just go to a thrift store and get a couple little like goth looking rings and no one's going to notice or care. No one has ever walked up to me and been like, oh, wow, those are the exact rings from the show. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people walking around as Eddie who don't have accurate rings or even pins and patches aren't accurate. It's fully not about making it, you know, 100% screen accurate. It's about getting the message across.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you're wearing the jacket and you've got the Hellfire Club shirt on, people are going to know who you are. It's okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of what you can do also in that space is if you're wanting to start cosplaying and you have to do it on a budget like I did, it's why I like horror so much. Pick a genre, or I obviously can't really choose what you're interested in, but look for characters that are more simple or are way. For me, I didn't start cosplay doing fucking mech suits and like highly detailed shit. It was Dobby and he wasn't accurate. I got a trench coat from a thrift store, a white shirt, and black pants.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. The rest was makeup and a wig. But everybody knew I was Dobby.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with 2D, it was all stuff that I had thrifted. It was a shirt that I even painted myself to have the T-Virus logo on it. And
nice.
There's so much that you can DIY. There's so much stuff you can do. Invest in a Cricut. Save up your money. Buy a Cricut. Those things are amazing.
They are amazing.
Learn to sew, honestly, also, if you can. There's a lot of also look into your community spaces. A lot of libraries now have 3D printers. There's a lot of maker spaces out there where for a very small fee, you can use their sewing machines and stuff. And treat cosplay also not as a investment if you can't. You know, a lot of people can. A lot of people can't. I couldn't at first. I can now because I have the opportunity to do events where I'm making back some amount of money for it, or I'm doing fan films or whatever. But if you can't, then just treat it like a hobby, because it is. And don't stress yourself out. Just do your best and have fun. That's the most important thing. Just have fun.
Great advice. All what cosplay is all about, I'd say.
Having fun. Go have fun.
Right.
Nerd out.
Yeah. That is what cosplay is all about. Great advice. I appreciate you being here with me today. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me. This has been so fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for talking about yourself and your skills. And if you would please plug your social media for anyone who wants to follow you.
I am The Ghost of Salem, all one word, The Ghost of Salem on Instagram. And I think technically TikTok. I don't really use it, though, as much as I should.
Fair enough.
And, you know, for all of you watching this, just be good people, have fun, and find the new weird.
Exactly. Speaking of, you are an award-winning actor playing Homelander in a fan film.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
How? Explain.
That was so